You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
So if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 to 46, and I'm going to read that to you. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He'll sit on His glorious throne and all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. And the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." Come on, there's something good. Before we even talk about the rest of this, how about that one little line there? Prepared for you when? Since the creation of the world. You know, God's had good plans for you since He created the earth. "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer Him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to eat? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit to you?" And the King will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." You know, we're called to be generous people, don't you? Come on, you know, we if you're a believer, you are called by God to be a generous person. You know that, right? See, it is my heart, it really is my heart, that the people of our church will be known as the most generous people. Not just some of the generous people, not just they're okay, but I literally mean it is my heart's desire that we would be known as the most generous people in Central Iowa. That's my heart. That's what I believe God's called us to be. I believe that every single believer is called to be a generous person in every area of our lives. See, all throughout Scripture, we see this same command and expectation that we'll be more like Christ and would be more generous with our time. That's something we've all got the same amount of, hey? No one knows when they're going to die. We get born. No one knows how many days they're going to live. And each day has the same number of hours, doesn't it? The same number of hours. And no one knows when they're going to die. We've all got the same amount of hours in a day. And there's something that God's saying. We all get to choose to be generous with our time. He wants us to be generous with our money, generous with our prayers, generous to our friends, generous to our enemies. Matthew 5, 43 to 47 says, "You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy." And everyone loved it. They were like, "Yeah, we're hating people because we're allowed to. Lay on the hate. Yeah, come on now." Trust me, you don't need to give someone permission to hate anyone. They'll figure that out all on their own. Am I right? Yeah, we tend to just roll that way. But here God says, "But I tell you," Jesus speaking to us, "but I tell you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He, God, causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? Come on now, guys. You pay your tax bill. Even the IRS loves you." They do. Come on now. The IRS, they'll be your friend if you pay your taxes. So if you're here and you only love people who love you, you're only good to people who are good to you, come on, you're no better than the IRS, and you're American. I know how you feel about them. Yeah, that's right. Taxation without representation and that big thing you wrote out about it, you know. It was a bunch of demands or something you gave to some dude on a throne somewhere because of this stuff, right? I know how you feel about that. God says you're no better than that, dude, if we only love the people that love us first. Come on, you know, you feel me? What reward will you get? And if you only greet your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? We're called to be generous people with our time, our money, our prayers, our friends, our enemies. Matthew 25 and Matthew 5 show us that we are to be generous even to criminals, even to people who want to hurt us. Nothing was mentioned of innocence. Shall we go back? We shall, and I shall find it. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. It didn't say I was in prison and I was innocent, wrongly convicted. There was nothing wrong and you visited me. And so then when you did that to one of the least of these, you did it for me. No, just in prison. When were you in prison and we visited you and God said when you did it for one of the least of these? Come on now, we can get so worried about who we go and hang out with, hey? Well, I'll go visit the guy who's innocent in prison, but I'm not going to visit the criminal because people might think I actually like him and then they might call me a friend of sinners. And I don't want to be called anything like that. Jesus was called that. I don't want to be like him, right? Jesus was called a friend of sinners, generous with his time, generous with every area of his life. Matthew 7 even shows us that we're to be generous with our minds and not to judge. And generosity, like faith, is not a measure you receive and stay there forever. It should grow. Your generous heart should grow and grow and grow as you find yourself ever closer to the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Lauren and I love to give. I would say it's caused us problems, but it's always worked out in the end, right? So you could say in the moment, you know, we do something and we're like, oh man, now we can't. But then we end up being able to and everything works out in the end. We love to give. I remember way back when I first began to tithe, and honestly, it wasn't incredibly super easy. I would start, maybe miss a week, miss a month, and struggle to find a way to get it to happen. And it's funny because when I did it, when I first started to do it, I gave up everything else in my life that was generous. Like now I was ticking the proverbial box, yeah? Like now I'm a tither. So that little sponsor kid in Ethiopia, he'll find his food somewhere else. I was serious. I was thinking like that. I'm tithing now. I'm ticking the proverbial box. I've got it all sorted out now. I'm a tither now. I'm not buying your lunch. Come on now. Buy your lunch. I tithe, man. If I'm tithing, how on earth could I afford to look after you? Come on now. Tithing's not about ticking a box, my friend. I had a misunderstanding of generosity, a misunderstanding of tithing. Instead of being generous, I was being legalistic. That's what I'd done more and more. But that's not what God wants us to do with our generosity. And so today I am going to take you on a quick journey of tithing and generosity in Scripture. And I want you all to hear my heart today. And I know I don't often preach on finances and on tithing. It doesn't happen often in the sermons. And that's honestly something that should be preached about once or twice or three times a year. Because if it was important enough for God to mention it over 2,000 times in Scripture, it should be important enough to all of us to learn how to manage our finances in a way that honors the one who gives us every good thing we have. Amen. And so if it was important enough for God to say it 2,000 times, there's something in me that thinks maybe it ought to be spoken about in church, yeah? And some people can get their knickers in a knot sometimes when you talk about this, but I want you to understand something. If you're visiting today, if you're new here, you probably have no concept of what sermon topics we go over each week, right? So if you're new here, you probably don't have a concept of the things we speak about week after week after week. So this week, rather than feeling offended that I preached on finance, which is a huge part of everybody's lives, be excited, my friend, about the fact that you came on one of the two or three weeks per year that you'll get to hear about how God cares about every area of your life, including your finances and your generosity, okay? So be excited that you came and got the opportunity to hear about how God cares about your finances, not just your heart. okay? He cares about every single aspect of your life, and you got to come on one of the 2 or 3 weeks a year that we talk about that. Now, next week, we'll talk about about a blessed life that we get to live as a result of being generous believers. But this week, we're talking about the generous life and how it transforms the church and how it transforms the community that we live in. So are you ready for it? Good. You need to know that tithing is, in fact, God's will for your life. Straight up. Straight up. You need to know that tithing is, in fact, God's will for your life. See, our faith in Jesus embraces our whole lives, not just the spiritual, but the material as well. Tithing does not make you a Christian, but it is a good indicator of where you are on your journey of trusting the Lord with your whole life and living as a follower of Jesus Christ. See, because it is mentioned over 2,000 times in Scripture, finance is mentioned over 2,000 times in Scripture, we can be assured of the fact that our finances, what we do with them, and what they say about us is, in fact, very important to God. And because it's important to God, it's important to me that you understand what God says about it, okay? Is that good? Now, there's a few things you need to know about tithing. It's mentioned in both the Old Testament before Jesus and the New Testament with and after Jesus. Tithing came before the law, and you'll learn that in Hebrews chapter 7. I'm not going to go there today, but if you want to read that, Hebrews chapter 7. Tithing came before the law, and tithing is taught in the law, Leviticus 27 and Malachi 3. If you've got your Bibles, I'll read Malachi 3 to you. For I, the Lord, do not change. What? That's a good header right before he talks about tithing, isn't it? What I want doesn't change. Thank God that right now this scripture, I'm going to give you a pre-warning. This scripture goes on to share how people who don't tithe and don't give and aren't generous are living under a curse, all right? What you need to know, the reason for that curse was because sin in our lives comes with a curse. When we sin, comes curse. But now after Jesus, scripture says that Jesus came and broke the curse of sin and death. Now, what that means is, although in the Old Testament before Jesus, the sin of not tithing was punished with a curse, you don't need to worry about that right now. Do not give because you're afraid of being cursed. That won't happen. Come on, that's good news. You should be really like, woohoo! Come on, that won't happen, right? Come on, there, he's excited. Oh, you're all afraid to clap because you're like, then they'll think I'm not a tither and I'm just happy I'm not cursed. Is that why you're not clapping? You're all freaking out, right? I can't clap to that. But you need to know that you're not under a curse if you don't tithe. That is not the fact. Jesus came and paid the price for sin. Now we're talking about the blessing that comes from obeying him and honoring him with our tithes, okay? So are you ready? From the days of your fathers, you've turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I'll return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Well, God says, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? And God says, in your tithes and offerings and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me. Not true now, right? That last bit, right? No curse. You are robbing me. Bring the full tithe. Now, tithe is just a fancy word for 10%, okay? And people are like, tithe, what's that? Just means 10%. You could switch those words out easily. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Hey, I love that too. We talked about feeding people and clothing people and also spiritual needs, making sure that there's food in the house of God, that there may be food in my house and thereby put me to the test. Ooh, God just said in this one area that we can test him, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need, and I will rebuke the devil for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil or the fruits of your labor, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed. That's good news. Amen. Come on, did you catch that? Malachi chapter 3. When you go home and read that, be sure to remember the curse is broken and thank God for the blessing of honoring him with that in Jesus' name. It's also mentioned in Leviticus 27. Jesus supported tithing in Matthew 23:23, and we'll go there in a moment. And Paul the Apostle supported tithing in 1 Corinthians 16 and many other places. That's just one example. And tithing is how the needs of the Lord's work and the church are met. We all get to be a part of that, my friend. Malachi 3, where it said that there might be food in my house. Everything is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And he trusts us with stuff. He trusts us with our finances, with our time, with our children. He trusts us with everything that we have. Psalm 24 verse 1 shares that with us. He gives us all we have, and he trusts us to wisely spend it and faithfully tithe 10% back to him. Now, I know that no believer would ever intentionally go out to hurt the church, right? Come on, we love the church. We love the mission and the vision and the Lord's work. And I know that none of you and none of us would intentionally hurt the church. But sometimes that's what we accidentally and collectively do when we neglect to support the work of the Lord in his church. When there's so much more that we could do together. I had a dream the other day. I was sharing it with my friend, Pastor Ed, about how it breaks my heart when like a family might experience divorce. And I don't know why I've got a heart for single mums. And I know there's single dads out there too. And I know there's stay-home dads. But something in my heart leaps and cries a bit when I hear about a mom being left by her husband. And she stayed home, not always, but some of them, they stayed home with their kids the whole time. They didn't work. They didn't develop a career, you know. And dad was out working. So his income's still going to exist afterwards. But she's got nothing, and something in my heart cries and says, wouldn't it be great if the church had some sort of benevolence fund for single moms, you know, where they never ever have to worry about paying their rent if they run out of money. They never have to worry about putting shoes on their kids' feet or putting food on the table, but there would be an abundance of food on my table, amen? Wouldn't that be great? And these kind of things can happen when the people of God, all of us together collectively, begin to honor the Lord with our tithes and with our offerings. We can make sure that we have a great and wonderful, inviting and fun facility that breathes hope to the whole community. Because even more important than food is a place of hope for people to come and meet with Jesus and feel comfortable in the presence of God. Amen. And so all of this stuff can happen as we do it together. Our church is all about together. Do it together. Matthew 23:23. Tithing is the beginning of generosity, not the goal. See, when I first started tithing, I made it my goal instead of my starting point. You see what I'm saying there? I made it my goal. Now that I've done this, I've ticked the box. Jesus said, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth, a tithe, you give a tenth of your spices, mint and dill and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." Come on now. What is it? Which one do we do? Both, amen? Come on, and people so often, and I've been guilty of it myself, I do this, I don't need to look out for the needs of people out there. I'm ticking the generous box in my life, and then I'm done. So many people will be like, "Oh, I really feel like the Lord told me I need to sponsor a child." So they take it out of their tithe, thinking that they've been generous somehow, but what they've really done is reallocate generosity, rather than take the step of faith that God called them to do at that time, which was, "Hey, no, you're a tither, praise God, now would you sponsor this child as well?" Come on, take a step of faith and add and be stretched and watch God pour open the windows of heaven on your life. Amen. You should have done both, it says. Here Jesus is showing us that tithing, that our 10% is not supposed to be the goal of our lives. I don't want to be a church full of people that all they do is give to church and they're stingy to everyone else in their lives. That would break my heart. If we became known as the stingiest church in Des Moines, all those Christians, they go into Applebee's and they write on the check, on the 18%, they cross that out and they write, "I give God 10%. Why do you deserve more?" I mean, I saw that, I got mad. Like madder than a cut snake mad. You know, come on now. Tithing is not the goal. That doesn't excuse you from being a kind person, from being generous, from overflowing, from an abundance of joy and blessing and provision on other people's lives. Come on now. In fact, I'd almost guarantee that person's finances are struggling because they're not doing both and they're just making this legalistic decision to tick a box. Come on, it's not about the relationship for that person. But for me, it's about the relationship with Jesus, the starting point in my life. It's like faith. My faith grows and my generosity grows. There is not much that misrepresents Jesus more than a stingy Christian. I don't like to hear about people talking about whether or not the waiter or waitress deserves a tip. Like it matters how hard they worked or if they earned it or if they were kind to you or not. Yeah, Jesus told me to go into the world and judge if people are kind to me or not and tip them accordingly. It's in the Bible. No, it's not, my friend. Tip accordingly. No, there's no such. If Jesus tipped you accordingly, you'd be screwed. That is the truth, my friend. If Jesus tipped me according to the things I've done in my life and whether or not I've ever been cranky and whether or not I've ever served right, I would be screwed. Come on now. I want to be the type of person that says, let's start to tip and treat people like Jesus does, not based on our performance, but based on our love for them, amen? And if you don't love them, then start to tip based on His love for them, amen? You go out to wherever you go, well, do you know what? Maybe you actually don't physically have enough dollars to do it. Then go to Applebee's instead of Fleming's if you need to, all right? And just make it up on the tip, right? But if you can afford both, then praise God. But one thing I'll always say, I won't let the blessings in my life stop me from being generous. Yeah? Come on. I'm blessed I get to go to Fleming's, but now I can't tip. No, come on. If you're blessed and you can't tip, then that's not right. Blessing should always overflow. It should always overflow. You feel me? Come on, you feel what I'm, what is it? You're catching what I'm throwing? You got this? Praise God. What if before you walked in the door of the restaurant, you and your husband or you and your wife or you and your friends decided what percentage you will tip before you even meet the waiter? Wouldn't that be nice? Lauren and I love this stuff. We're all over it. We love tipping. Australians, they don't tip. Not because they're stingy, but because everyone gets paid $140 an hour or something like that. So no one can afford it. But there is this culture in Australia, thanks, band, where they don't tip at all. There's not even a line on the thing for it. But since we came here, we got obsessed with tipping. Since tithing, we've become obsessed with generosity. Lauren and I go out for dinner and we'll just sit down and we'll go, all right, pick a table. And that means pick another table to pay for, you know. We're going to make sure that waiter's tip is bigger because we know we'll tip bigger than they would have. And so they get tipped on ours and theirs is free. And, you know, like, let's just blow some minds. In fact, yesterday we were out at the machine shed and we said to the lady, I said to Lauren, pick a table. And she goes, that table. My wife's super, I'm like thinking pick two, you know, that lovely young, she's like table of like 12. So she picks them. I'm like, come on now. I'm not even kidding. If we were at Fleming's, she'd have done the same thing there. It'd be like, here's an $800 bill, Jesse. Thank you. But she's amazing like that. But we went, so anyway, we tell the waitress, we'd love to, if the table behind you, I would like to pay for them too. We get the check and it was not much at all. It turns out she thought we said the table behind us. So I kind of won anyway. But now, truth is, once Lauren said it, I was excited about this table because there was a little birthday party for a little kid and stuff, and the family was together, and I was excited to do it, and then they got their checks. I was like, well, that didn't happen how we planned it, but it's fun. We find ways to make giving fun. We pay for the car behind us, pay for random tables in restaurants, give stupid high tips sometimes. Lately, I've been asking Judah how much we should give the delivery person or the waiter. Give him a range, though, so he doesn't say, 10. You know, give him a range from, 20% to 50%. What should we give them, Judah? Because Jesus showed us here that tithing, which is, make no mistake, asked of us by God, but it is the beginning of generosity in our lives. Missions, tips, gifts, sponsor children, all this stuff. We should aspire to have our heart and our faith stretched more to include these things in the generous life that we live. So we're not minimalists, but maximalists. That we're not doing the bare minimum, but we're doing as much as we can to make sure that people know that we are generous people. Why? Because we've got a friendship with God. Next week, we're going to talk about the fruit of a generous life. I'm going to talk to you about the boomerang. You read Malachi chapter 3, Luke 6, 38, and be confident of this, that it is meant to come back to you. Whether by direct financial input, promotions, favor, or the Lord's blessing on all you own, tithing and generosity will bless you, will bless the church, will bless the Lord's work, and like a boomerang, it will come back to you. Would you stand up with me, church? Right now, we're just going to have a time of prayer. And you know what? I was about to say it's not really a topic that involves much coming and getting prayer, but that might not be true, actually. You might actually know right now. You go, you know what? My heart has been so cold. Some people have said that tithing is not New Testament, and then we just discovered now from Jesus' mouth that it is. And you just might want to be like, okay, well, God, help me to do this. Maybe you need prayer for that. I don't know. Maybe you need prayer for anything else in your life. If you're sick, come on down the front here. Let's pray for you and ask God for a miracle. If you have a financial need, you're desperate for help in your finances, come, let us pray for you and believe God to bless you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.